you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Romans in chapter number 4. Romans chapter 4. I hope you've enjoyed the study in the book of Romans. It's certainly a book that's a treasure trove to the church. The Lord has used the Apostle Paul in a mighty way. Begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter number 4. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. That's going to be a key theme in this chapter, is that Abraham is not just the father of the Israelites, but he's the father of us all. The Word of God said, though he might be circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. The Word of God said in verse 14, For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. I wish you'd underline that. And it is written, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, I like this, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. If correctly read, that's the 25 verses in chapter 4 of the book of Romans. If you would, pray with me a moment. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, tonight for how that the Word of God stirs our hearts. Lord, I pray tonight that, Lord, you would just speak to our hearts. Lord, encourage our faith, build our faith. Lord, you told us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I pray, Father, tonight you'd help us to do that in the service. Bless our dear people, God, those that we're missing tonight, that are normally here in prayer meeting. God, I pray you'd bless them. Strengthen them, our Lord, and God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. There's a theme being carried out tonight in chapter number 4. Kind of was begun in chapter 3 of the book of Romans. You have faith versus works. You have trying versus trusting. You have man's efforts versus God's excellence. That's what we're looking at in the chapter tonight, and seeing the contrast between those. When the Bible said in verse 20, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's what has always given glory to God, is when somebody would just believe him. I was thinking about this today, and I didn't write it down, but it just came to my heart again. I read an illustration years ago about a little boy that was on the second story in a home that was on fire. And the little boy had made his way to the window, and the father was standing down on the sidewalk, and he was saying, "Jump, son, jump, jump, son." And he said, "But father, I can't see you." He said, "I understand, son, the smoke and all that." He said, "But I can see you." Aren't you glad there was a day, amen, when we couldn't see him, but he could see us, saw where we were, came to us, amen. And somebody said, "Well, is it a leap in the dark?" No, actually, it's a leap in the light, amen. And we were walking in darkness up to that point, and Abraham comes along, and God speaks to him about leaving his homeland. And God helps Abraham to understand that he's going to be blessed because that he believed God. Remember the first mention of the word righteousness was there in Genesis, where that the word of God said Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And at that time his name was still Abram, actually. I have it in my heart tonight. I want to try to show you something right quick. I didn't plan on this, but it just came to my heart and mind. Let me see if I can find it. I believe it's the book of James. See if you can find the book of James. Have you ever heard somebody say there's contradictions in the Bible? How many's ever heard somebody say that? Well, if I'm in the right place, I am. James chapter number 2. This could appear to be a contradiction if you don't study it out. But the Bible said here in the first few verses of Romans 4, what shall we say then as pertaining to Abraham our father, as pertaining to his flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. If you look over in chapter number 2 of James and verse number 14. The Bible said, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?" And can that kind of faith save him? "If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. I believe the reason, one of the reasons the Lord's bringing this up tonight in the beginning of the chapter, in the beginning of the study, is because I fear that when you're teaching on faith alone for salvation, that it's left off that this kind of faith changes lives, and this kind of faith produces works. Amen. It's not a works salvation, but it's a salvation that works. I go back to the relationship that I have with my Father. So many things I did, not in order that He would become my Father, but because He was my Father, and I loved Him. And I believe love will produce service. It will produce works. Going back again, I don't want to bore you with it, but a lot of people quote Ephesians 2, 8, 9. They leave off verse 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's all true. But verse 10 is just as true. For we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained. In other words, He settled down a long time ago that when a man got saved, I thought about the prayer request Allison sent me a while ago. She got saved. Now she's under a burden for different ones. Amen. That's the way it works, isn't it? Amen. And we get our eyes off ourselves. We get our eyes on the Savior. We get our eyes on others. We begin to get concerned about others. Watch this now. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. And James said, I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, wait a minute. Who did he say he was showing it to? He's not showing it to God, Brother Rick. He said, I'll show you. In other words, what was another scripture? Let your light so shine before men, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In other words, God is looking on the heart, but all that men can see is what the faith in God produces. And they saw that in Abraham's life. We're going to look at that in just a little while. He said, thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? I want to say, I make a statement that I made years ago. I probably should make it more often. I would not depend on a faith that does not work to take me to heaven. I believe I understand the Bible. I would not depend on a faith that does not work to take me to heaven. I'm not preaching a work salvation. I'm preaching a salvation that works, amen, a relationship with God that changes an individual's life and causes them to want to do things for the glory of God. And watch verse 21. Was not our father, Abraham our father, I love that phrase, our father, justified by works when he had offered his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Or it was matured, it was manifested, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Okay, you could say, well, you're going to look at a whole chapter that's going to talk about it's faith, it's not works. It's justified. Now, here's the thing. Justified in the eyes of God, or justified in the eyes of men. In other words, beloved, men see the works. And that causes the Abraham's family, the followers, to understand that this man that was willing to take his son, his only son, and go up that mountain, amen, willing to raise that knife up at the command of God, willing to take his own life. The Bible says later in the book of Hebrews that he judged him faithful, and that he was able to raise him from the dead. Abraham had every intention of taking that knife and sticking it in his son, because he knew, beloved, that there was a God that would keep his promise. Amen. That could not break his promise, and that he would be faithful to what that he had said. So if we're just talking about justification in the eyes of God,
we're talking about faith alone. But if we're talking about justification in the eyes of man, in other words, God said, let your light so shine, let it, that men may see your good works, and not brag on you, but glorify your Father which is in heaven. By the way, that's what a good work will do. A good work won't cause others to brag on you. A good work will cause others to realize that it's Christ that made the difference in your life, and He's the reason that you do what you do. So we see that in man's works, there's imperfection, but in the work of God, there's perfection. When God does the work, it's perfect. And I believe with all of my heart, it will last forever. Under the system of works, when you're talking about salvation, it all depends on man and his performance. But if you're under the system of grace, it all depends on God and his promise. Ain't that good? Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen tonight. It's a blessing to be saved by the grace of God. Turn with me, if you will, in the book of Hebrews for just a moment. We're looking at a man by the name of Abraham. Let's look at a little bit of his story in Hebrews chapter number 11. God put him there for a reason, for an example. The Word of God said in verse 8 of chapter number 11 of the book of Hebrews, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out. How many remember when you were called? Glory to God. Listen, we were called out of sin. We were called out of Egypt. We were called to follow the Lord and to trust Him as our Savior. Called to go out into a place which He should afterwards receive for an inheritance. He obeyed and He went out, not knowing whither He went. I can't read that verse of Scripture without thinking about it. I didn't mean to say this tonight, but the first church that I pastored, God was dealing in my heart strongly. Your work here is finished. Your work here is finished. And I tell you, it scared me. I had 4 children, a wife. I'd been there 5.5 years. God said, you're done. Your work here is finished. Now listen, that's no slam on anybody. But I tell you what I learned a long time ago. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. I got on the phone. In my heart, God knows I'm telling the truth. You can ask my wife. I've always had respect, much respect for older preachers. And I've leaned on them through the years. Talked to them, amen, when I didn't know. And I talked to 4 different preachers that told me the same thing. You're a preacher. You're a pastor. I wouldn't do anything until you know what the next step is, until you know where you're going. You've got a family. You're responsible for your family. I thought good advice. One day God rubbed my nose in this verse. You know what I did? He rubbed my nose in it on Wednesday afternoon. I resigned on Wednesday night. When God made it real in my heart, Abraham obeyed me. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know where his next meal was coming from, but he trusted me. And I can stand here tonight and tell you, God honored that. Listen, you'll never go wrong listening to God. Amen. It may not make sense in the eyes of man. It may not make sense in the heart of man, but you'll never go wrong listening to God. Never. So Abraham, he goes out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city. This is what faith will do. It'll cause you to look beyond this world. Listen, you know what America needs? America needs some people that'll look beyond the election. Save men. We need some people that'll look beyond the White House. We need some joy back in our hearts, amen, and looking to listen to the big house. I'm not talking about the prison. I'm talking about heaven, amen, where God said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I believe it's wise to vote. If you don't vote, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Amen. I believe you ought to pray. I believe you ought to vote. You said, Preacher, I don't like that. Well, it's still the truth. Are you a citizen? Amen. You know what I've found in life? The ones that complain the most don't do anything. Don't be a griping, amen, about the result if you haven't put your vote in, amen. I believe with all of my heart, listen, that God sets them up. God takes them down. I think sometimes I know the best way. I remember how sick at my stomach I was one time. And I won't go into it, beloved, but listen, I was in Pennsylvania in a prison revival, and God is my witness, I wanted to hook my truck to that travel trailer and go home and forget about it. And God reminded me that night, he said, listen, them kids are waiting on you to preach to them in the morning, that Christian school. There's some things that haven't changed. Listen, this country might be headed to hell in a handbasket, but I'm still on the throne. My promise is still real. And God had to stir in my heart and get me to looking by faith once again. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. I like that, don't you? Thank God, the man Abraham and his wife, they believed God and judged him faithful. Therefore sprang even one, and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit, but the Bible said in there in Romans 4, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. You know what he was doing? He was looking at an impossible situation. Listen. But there was two situations in front of him. In other words, his own inability to have a baby. The deadness of his wife's womb to have a baby. It's impossible, humanly speaking. But I tell you, Brother Grizzle, he got a glimpse of something else that's impossible. It's impossible for God to lie. I'm telling you, beloved, God said, run to him. He's a refuge. You can count on him, amen. Because it's impossible for God to lie. And so Abraham had two impossibilities. And he just went with the second. It's impossible for God to lie. What he has promised, he is able, well able to perform. Man, listen, in chapter number 4, we're talking about faith. A man that pleads not guilty, all he can hope for is a fair trial. If he pleads not guilty, that's all he can hope for, is a fair trial. But a man who pleads guilty, all he can hope for is mercy. Amen. I love it. Listen, every time I think about something like that, Brother Mitchell comes back to my heart when he stood in this pulpit, and I'd say he'd made it 1,000 times before, but he said, you're going to get saved. You're going to have to take sides with God against yourself. Amen. And now I love that. Amen. Because that's what a man's doing, saying, Lord, I'm not pleading not guilty. I'm pleading guilty, and I'm looking for mercy. Amen. The mercy of God. I believe that's where it's at. The Bible said, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So if we'll uncover them, God says, I'll cover them. But if we cover them, God said, I'll uncover them. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. A country boy can figure out the best end of that deal. Amen. Just uncover them and let God cover them. I believe when the Bible says reckon, impute, count 11 times here in this chapter alone, we're going to learn about the faith of Abraham. The Bible said, what shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. You don't find Abraham, beloved, bragging and boasting in himself. Abraham is a man that counted God faithful, and God, because he believed God, God counted it to him for righteousness. The Bible said, now him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. I do believe the songwriter got it right when he said, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. But beloved, I want you to know, it's not paying on that debt. Listen, that you and I cannot pay on that debt. But thank God Jesus paid it all. And we do owe him that debt. I believe Paul, in Romans chapter 1, he said, I'm a debtor. He said, I'm not ashamed. He said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to them that are at Rome also. And that's exactly what he's doing in chapter number 4. He's letting them know the Jews had a problem. They thought a little bit more highly of themselves. Let me word it the way it should be. They thought a lot more highly of themselves than they ought to think. And the Apostle Paul, he had been caught in that same trap, but something happened on the road to Damascus. And now he's explaining to his people in the book of Romans, and not only to the Jew, but to the Gentile as well, that God has designed this way of salvation not to be a way of trying, but a way of trusting. Not to be a way, beloved, of works, but a way of faith. The Word of God said in verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. I want you to think about David for just a moment. Beloved, listen. David messed up. We know that he did. He messed up bad. But I'm going to tell you something right now. David also knew what it was to have a full and a free pardon from God. David never did escape the consequences of his sin. Beloved, the sin carries a consequence. Sin leaves scars. Danny Sykes said, years ago I heard him say this, and I've never forgotten it. He said, you can choose your sin, but you cannot choose the consequences. That's a good statement, amen. And David couldn't choose. God said, the sword will never leave your house. But I believe there was a day when that man, after God's own heart, face to face with Nathan, face to face with the truth. If you'll read Psalm 32, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. If you'll read Psalm 51, David realized it's not hidden. Against thee cries out to God, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. I believe he knew what it was, the blessedness, in saying in verse number 7, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And David knew all of this just was because he took God at his word, amen, and that he believed God just as Abraham had believed God. Then the word of God said in verse 9, cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? God's going to be careful here to help us to understand that this great step of faith that took place in Abram's life happened before circumcision, not after. And that God was going to be inclusive of all the nations, amen, that they could all come the same way by faith. I think that the Bible is clear that the Lord tore down the middle wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile, and that all must come by way of the cross. All must come by faith. He said, cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness. I believe, listen, when a person genuinely believes God and is born again, I believe there's going to be some outward expressions of that inward faith. One of the first ones that God wants us to carry out is baptism. He wants us to let the world know, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I want to be buried just like he was. I want to raise to walk in the newness of life and to do his will. Amen. But that baptism, just like circumcision, did not save Abraham. That baptism does not save us. The Lord's Supper does not save us. Going to church does not save us. Putting money in the offering does not save us. There's no amount of good deeds that could save us. But beloved, Jesus saved us by his grace when we placed our faith in the cross, the finished work of Calvary. He received the sign as a seal of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. I don't know about you, I like God's plan. Amen. Plumb back there in Genesis, he was thinking about us. To the Jew, we were counted as dogs. But to God, he said, I'm going to build a church. Amen. And those that come to Calvary by faith are going to be included in this church. Doesn't matter if they're circumcised or not, Jew or Gentile. It does not matter. God has opened the door of faith. The father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, yet being uncircumcised. I love this. Verse 13, the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Isn't that good tonight? Isn't it good to know tonight that you and I, listen, even in the turbulent times that we live in, what did the Bible say? I believe it's over there. It's slipping my mind now. In these last times, there's going to be perilous times. That's the word I was looking for in these last days. Amen. There's going to be perilous times. And if we're not living there, I don't know when we ever will be living there. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's one thing that's still the same in the perilous times, and that's the promise of God. And we can lean on that tonight. We can bank on that tonight. That's not going to change. The Word of God said here, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. But the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there's no transgression. Goes along with Galatians. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Help us to see our guilt. Help us to see our need. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. I'm not sure how many people read their Bible and see themselves in these words right here, that Abraham's the father of us all the seed. And the Word of God said, not to only that which is of the law, but to that which also the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. I don't know about you tonight, but I thank God that it is faith that brings us into God's favor, but it's also faith that brings us into God's family. God's got a big old family. One of the things that I know that Brother Coulter's going to be blessed as he travels, but one of the greatest blessings as I travel for those 10 years, when you get kind of just in your own little corner, whether you're pastoring or attending a church, I believe sometimes we forget. Brother John, you've brought it out in this pulpit in Sunday school time and time again. We're not the only church that's preaching the right thing and trying to do the right thing and trying to reach people and trying to send the missionaries. God's got young and scattered out all over the globe. And that's a blessing. And I like that. And what brought that to my mind was when the Bible said he's the father of us all. Amen. Everybody that gets in just like Abraham did by taking God at his word. As it is written, I made thee the father of many nations before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as they were. That's a blessing, isn't it? Amen. In other words, the Lord was looking down through time. He's talking about the father of us all. Abraham couldn't see that, but Abraham believed it. God told him, said, look up at the stars. If Abraham would have spent too much time looking at Sarah and looking in the mirror, he might have doubted. But when he looked up at the stars, and God said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Just count them stars. Count that sand Abraham said, I can't do that. God said, that's how I'm going to bless you. Amen. And instead of getting his eyes on what was impossible to him, he got his eyes on what was impossible to God. It was impossible for God to lie. And he took God at his word. Who against hope, the word of God, believed in hope. I wonder how many Christians in America right now. Listen to me carefully. I wonder how many Christians in America right now are against hope, believing in hope. Let me ask you a question tonight. I'm not trying to get political. But if we made a mistake as a nation, if we made a mistake when we legalized taking the babies out of their mama's womb, what'd be wrong with correcting a mistake? Brother Steve, God's people have lived on the wrong side of that mistake for decades. Does that make any sense? You know what it's going to take? Somebody against hope, believing in hope. God can turn it around. Amen? God can help America to understand there's something more important than the stock market. Amen? There's something more important than what we can do. That's what he can do. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Amen? Amen. I believe against hope, he believed in hope. I know that things are going to get bad. I know that in the end times, it's not going to be a pretty picture. But along the way, I believe we ought to, against hope, believe in hope. Amen. You know, the Word of God said here that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Beloved, let me say something to you tonight. Faith can take something that's dead and make it alive. When you and I were saved by the grace of God, the Word of God said we were dead in our trespasses and sin. When I think of that, I think about the man that was just oversimplifying salvation. He said, why, getting saved's easy as taking a drink of water. And a wise old preacher said, let me see you get a dead man to take a drink of water. Beloved, we can't leave the Holy Ghost out in salvation. He has to quicken. He must quicken. He must convict, amen, of sin and of righteousness and of the judgment to come. Abraham didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. You know what I believe? I believe the closer that we walk with the Lord, the more we can breathe the prayer of the disciples, Brother Steve. Lord, increase our faith. I don't know about you tonight, but I could stand a dose of that. Say amen. Increase our faith, Lord. Increase our faith. The Bible said here, and being full, he staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad when God in heaven looks at my account, there's something missing. That's my sin. There's something that's been added, and that's his righteousness. I don't know about you tonight, but that is a blessing. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. I love these words. Paul said, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him. Let me ask you something tonight. Have you believed on him? Do you believe on him? The Word of God said that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered for our offenses, not his own. And he was raised again for our justification. I believe tonight there's a danger there's a danger in going overboard and not understanding. I'm just going to make a statement tonight. You don't have to agree with me. But I believe in the late 70s, mid to late 70s and the 80s, Baptist churches were in competition. We'll give you a hot dog to ride our van. Well, we'll give you two hot dogs. Well, we'll give you two hot dogs and an ice cream. And people were taught to pray this little prayer. Beloved, I'm telling you, I believe there's a decade or two right there that filled our churches up with lost people. Because we were more interested in man's number. I used to go to a conference. I'll tell you where I finally got peace. They acted like, Brother Steve, if you weren't baptizing 100 people every year, you're doing nothing. I mean, that's the way it was. You'd leave there feeling like a dog. And they'd boast. Boast. One day God showed me in the book of Corinthians, He's never going to judge us. He's not going to judge the work by what size it is. He's going to judge the work by what sort it is. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, God knows what's being done by faith. And He will honor what's being done by faith. I'm just glad you come tonight.